You're listening to the People Over Profit podcast. Hi, I'm Justine Beauregard. Since 2008, I've helped scale multiple businesses to 7, 8, and 9 figures by focusing on quality connections, not vanity metrics. For decades, we've been taught to believe that business is just a numbers game, but really, it's a relationships game. Gone are the days of prioritizing money over our missions and the people that our businesses are built to support. I created this podcast because I want you to make a difference in the world without feeling like you have to sacrifice your income or your integrity to do it. If you're building a business that puts people first, you belong here. Now, let's spend some quality time together. One of the biggest sticking points for my clients when we work through their sales pitch and process is the close. Many people will tell you that this is caused by a fear of rejection. And that can certainly be an underlying contributor, but I always see this as a process issue. If you have a good process to lean on and a drive to help other people, your fear is often something that you can look past to reach a positive outcome when you're selling. Think about it. If you had the cure for cancer right now and a simple script for sharing it with even the most skeptical of oncologists, you would be cold calling every hospital left and right. It's equal parts trust in your offer and believing that your solution is the cure, and trusting in the process, knowing that most people you meet will be receptive because you have a great way of pitching it. The quality of your belief and your closing process is what gives you courage. So first, let's talk about what you may be neglecting when you're closing so that you can start to weed out those things from your process. Then we can talk about the simple technique that will replace all of that, that will guarantee more sales for you. If you're anything like me, you probably failed when you were selling at first simply because you were not prepared. I'm not saying this so that you can beat yourself up. I'm saying this because you don't know what you don't know until you do know. It's just part of the process of learning. Did you know how to walk or talk or drive before you practice? No. And no one, but maybe you, expects you to know how to sell before you start selling either. It takes time to learn these skills. And then there's the lead qualification side, which is just a fancy way of saying, stop selling to the wrong people. When I started my business, I was not sure how I was going to qualify someone as a buyer. So I got out there and I sold to everyone, which is actually a good thing because you can learn a lot this way, even when you fail a lot. And some people that I sold to were not ideal because I didn't want to do the work that I was being offered to be paid for, like the guy who had me fix his LinkedIn profile for $75. Other times, people were massively needy, so I took on a $300 writing project that would normally take me about 2 hours, and I ended up making about $10 an hour and wanting to quit because they had so many edits and so much back and forth, and I had no boundaries and no contracts, and I didn't know how to protect myself. And sometimes these mistakes will lead us further down the cycle of despair. I remember the days in my business where I felt so frustrated with my lack of sales and the slow pace of my learning and income that I would get so aggressive when I was selling. I would find myself rushing through conversations. I would think about myself more than the other person. I would always try to get them to buy what I needed to sell instead of just seeing how the things that I had to sell could align with what they were looking for to make it a win-win. And all this did was lead to a lack of rapport and my difficulty in overcoming their objections and feeling resentful and a deep desire to want to give up and eventually hiding from selling at all. It's a quick race to the bottom and a tough climb to the top. And working hard to continue that climb when all the odds seem stacked against you, it just doesn't work. It's not sustainable. But I know that because you're here listening to this podcast and seeking out solutions for better ways to sell, that you're going to make it. So whether you're already crushing it and want to make it even easier on yourself, or you're in the throes of all the difficulty right now and you're feeling the weight of disappointment on how it's going, I assure you that you're going to make it. Your resilience and resolve are not just what got you to this moment. They are the things that will make you the champion that you are destined to be. So now I want to talk about the technique that makes closing sales easier on everyone. And I like to think of this almost as a looping technique because you can do it over and over in a single conversation until a decision is made. And remember, when you're selling, unless you hear a verbal no, there is no sales decision. And without a decision, there is no finality to the conversation. Being ghosted is not a no. Hearing maybe is not a no. Weeks in between conversations, not a no. Okay? We want a clear answer, a yes or a no. Those are the only two options. And it all begins by asking a simple question. Does it make sense to? Now, what this question does, it achieves two big goals during a sales conversation. First, it gets them to buy into the next step. So psychologically, this is very important and helpful for your closing process. Number two is it opens up a dialogue so that the next step is something everyone can quickly get on board with. And I'll give you an example of this in context. So let's say that you're a personal trainer. You might say, "It sounds like you're ready to change your habits and get healthy now," which is really encouraging to hear. "Does it make sense for us to get your measurements and create your nutrition plan today?" If they say yes, you can immediately move to the close. Great. If they say no, you can gather more information. So, okay, I hear you. What do you think needs to happen next for you to achieve the health goals that we just talked about? If they don't have an answer or they say that they don't know, just go back to your opinion on the baseline measurements and the meal planning stuff. If they have ideas, you can work out how their ideas fit into your process. So imagine they say, "You know, after everything we talked about today, I think my best next step is to just go home, clean out my fridge, do some workouts, and if I feel like I'm still getting stuck, I'll come back and sign up with you then to get the help that I came in looking for today." At this stage, it can be really helpful to exercise compassion and remain curious. So you might say something like, "That sounds like a really good plan. So just curious, before you came here, you had not tried working out on your own and doing anything to improve your nutrition. Is that what you're saying?" And if they reply, "No, I did, but I feel inspired to try it again on my own after this conversation," which is at that moment where I would introduce the story of someone similar to them. "So, you know, you sound a lot like my client Leslie. They came into the gym after several failed attempts on their own to get healthy. Actually, they also had 30 pounds to lose, which is kind of interesting. And what we discovered was the motivation they gained from our conversation was actually why this specific plan was going to work so well for them when nothing else really had before. Because it gave them the clarity and the accountability and the set amount of time they needed to achieve the results that they were looking for. I've worked with a lot of people like you and Leslie, and I can always tell the ones who will be successful, and you're one of them. I know it can feel scary to try something new, but I can already picture your results with me in just 4 months from now, and that is how long it will take you to get to your goal here. If you can just commit to this process for 16 weeks, I promise to get you there." Then I would pause and allow the silence to be an opportunity for them to speak up and chime in with their thoughts and opinions on what you just shared. You might not yet be brave enough to pause for an awkward silence there, and that's okay. In this case, I suggest this is where you add a guarantee. Something like, "And if that doesn't work for you, I will work for you for free until it does." And then loop back to that initial question. Do you remember what it was? "So what do you think? Does it make sense for us to go get your measurements and create your nutrition plan today?" And again, if they say yes, you move to the close. If they say no, you ask again, "What do you think needs to happen for you to achieve the health goals we just talked about?" So as you can see this framework in action, I want you to think about how you can apply it to your next sales conversation. And if you have one today, try it out today. If you don't, go book a sales conversation and try it out then and let me know how it goes. I'm rooting for you. If you found this episode helpful, feel free to tag me with your thoughts and feedback at Justine Beauregard Coach on Instagram or Facebook. And if you have ideas for future episodes, I'd love to hear them. Just send an email to justine@justinebeauregard.com. And if you haven't yet, don't forget to click that subscribe button and rate and review the show. Your feedback means a lot to me and allows us to keep learning and growing together. I'll see you next week.